Grace and peace in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson, John 21, another resurrection appearance of Jesus. We pray, Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to believe. Give us your Holy Spirit. Teach the church today. Bless the preaching, teaching, hearing, receiving of your word. For you and you alone have the words of eternal life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends, in life we see many, many signs, don't we? Just driving here to church this morning, lots of signs. Hopefully you obeyed most of the signs. Speed limit signs, stop signs, road signs, school zone signs, work zone signs, all sorts of signs we see when we drive. And then when we leave church, we're probably looking for a sign of where we want to go to lunch. And there's all sorts of signs along here if you want cheap stuff or expensive stuff. Pat, there's the Chop House for you down there in Fountain City. And then there's McDonald's for me and my family. There's Burger King, Chick-fil-A, lots of food signs all over pointing you, come here, signs. Then we have billboards everywhere in Tennessee about everything. Look at the signs. Read, study, know where they're pointing to, and go there. When you read the Gospel of John, John, led by the Holy Spirit, is very interested in signs that Jesus does. For these signs point us to Jesus, reveal things about Jesus for the church. In John's Gospel, there are 10 signs that Jesus performs. Now, he does many, many other signs. John tells us that if they were recorded, we wouldn't have enough room in the world for all the books written. So the Holy Spirit leads John to write down 10 because they're very important and they point to Jesus. Look at the signs, understand the signs about Jesus. There are 7 signs before Easter. There's the changing of the water to wine. Jesus heals a centurion's son. He heals a paralytic who is trying to get into the pool. He feeds the 5,000, that's the 4th sign. 5, he walks on water. 6, he heals a blind man. 7's God's number, a perfect number. 7, he raises Lazarus from the grave. That is our resurrection, the perfect sign, the last day. 8 is Easter, and 8 is a number for resurrection, a number for new life. It's the eternal day, it's the heavenly day, and Christ rises as the 8th sign of John's gospel. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We're in that 8th day even now by faith. And then there are 2 more signs. And these are continuing signs for us that live today. We can read of the signs, and they are wonderful in John's gospel. There are 2 continuing signs for the past 2,000 years until the final sign of a second coming. And these 2 final signs, number 9 and number 10, are in your gospel lesson today. Where is the risen Lord? He's alive. Where is he? Is there forgiveness? Is there salvation? Where is all this stuff? After all, he's alive. He's God. Where is this salvation that he promised? Where is this forgiveness? And it's found in the church. These signs are in the church. And what are they? Continuing signs of the presence of the risen Lord and his power to save and deliver. The church will fish and the church will feast. And these are the continuing signs of the past 2,000 years until we enter paradise, the shore, at the end of the story. First of all, you want to know where the risen Lord is? Where is this forgiveness, this salvation? It's in the preaching of the church. We cast out the net. The net is the gospel. The net is the good news of Jesus. And as we, the church, cast out the net, we bring in lots and lots of people. It's been happening 2,000 years. You're one of the fish. The gospel has caught you. The power of the Holy Spirit. You've been brought to the water of baptism. Brought into the boat called the church. The boat is the church. The water is baptism. The net is the gospel. We've been brought in. This has been happening for 2,000 years. Where is the risen Lord? He's in the preaching and teaching of the gospel. And so we preach about Jesus and teach of Jesus. And the cross and the resurrection. And the Lord draws and draws us into the net. And we're brought into the church. We're baptized. A continuing sign that he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Not out there flying around somewhere, right here in the church. the minister's preaching, you telling your neighbor, the water of baptism. This is where the risen Lord works. He enables the disciples to catch a whole bunch of fish. And notice this is the second miracle of catching fish that Jesus performs. He did one earlier before his resurrection and death, we know. Because we think the church is a cruise ship. I get in the church, I'm happy, I have the midnight buffet, I can sit and do nothing, I'm a Christian. I'm just cruising on until I get to heaven and let all the unbelievers be damned. Because I'm in and they're not. I'm safe and secure, I'm a Christian, I'm in the church. It's a cruise ship, the love boat. Dance, buffets, have fun, get a tan. That's not why we're here. We are in the church, in the boat, not to sit and do nothing. We are here to cast out the net, that all people be saved. We have work to do. It's a working ship to save the whole world, so throw out the net. And notice also, when Christ is not there, they catch nothing. He asked me, have you caught anything? No. Because he's not there. When he shows up and gives a simple direction, throw the net on the other side, they catch a boatload. What's the difference? The presence of Jesus. And so the church's job is to preach Jesus, to teach Jesus, to proclaim the saving name of Jesus. We can't do that enough in the church. You want something else than Jesus? Don't come here. He's the one that will draw. He's the Son of God. He lived. He died. He rose. There's forgiveness in his name. He loves all people. He loves the Apostle Paul. He loves all the evil people because we're all evil. He wants them all to be saved. Bring them in. And so make sure you teach Jesus. If you don't teach Jesus, you're not going to draw anybody. And the people you get aren't there for the right reasons anyway. But when you preach and teach Jesus in school and church, oh, he draws a whole boatload in. We're all part of the group that's been brought in. And notice also we do this one by one. And this is always critical in the Bible. The first reading is one man. And I mentioned he is the terrorist of terrorists. You don't like terrorists? St. Paul's a terrorist. Imprisoning and killing Christians. We have him today too. But notice the love of God for this man. The risen Lord can save him and deliver him. I mentioned in Bible class, are we praying for the terrorists? That God would save them? We don't like what they do. It's evil. I know that. It is evil. Let's pray for them. Oh God, as you say, Paul, save them. Convert them. Maybe they're zealous for the gospel. And not just them, but the whole world of unbelievers that worship all other gods. Be in prayer. Oh God, deliver them. Bring them into the net. And may we cast out the net of the gospel to them and preach and keep the Christians over there faithful and zealous to preach the gospel though they get their heads cut off. May they be faithful to the end and preach of Jesus Christ that the seed is planted and people are saved and God is saving people. We probably just don't hear about it here in America. Many. One by one, 153 are caught. Not 152, not 154, but precisely 153. Peter and the apostles handle every one. They have this fish, they have this fish, they have this dirty one, this slimy one, this pretty one, this ugly one. They bring them all in. Everyone, one, two, three, four. Everyone counts. Everyone gets our attention. And this is the Christian church. Every person counts. Everybody we come across gets our attention. That they know the love of God. And they know the cross and the resurrection. We skip over no one. We're not too busy for anyone. The 153 stands for the whole church. I mentioned in class, it's a number, it's based on 17. 10, good, complete number. 7, perfect number. 2 great, complete, perfect numbers. And if you add up the numerals 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 and keep adding to 17, you get 153. Keep adding people and keep adding people. And keep adding another one, and add another one, and add another one, and the whole church will be there on the shore in heaven. Did Bill Haslam sign the bill? Are we in great suspense on the Bible becoming the official state book of Tennessee? I mean, has he signed it yet, Pat? I haven't followed. It's on his desk, I hear. To make the Bible the official book of the state of Tennessee. If he does that, our mission is over, folks. The job is done. Everybody knows the Bible. Everybody's a Christian. Let's move on to Indiana because there's non-Christians there. And Alabama, we all know there's non-Christians there. But Tennessee is saved, right? Wrong. I don't think a lot of my neighbors go to church. How about yours? Imagine we still got a good 50, 60% that don't know Jesus. If they do, the faith is very weak. They're barely in the net. They want to get away. We got work to do. It's not the job of the government to promote the Bible. We don't want the government to promote the Bible. They're screwing it up. It's the work of the church to preach the gospel. We speak the Bible. We're here to tell of Christ and all that he's done, that people be saved. And we want the Bible not to be in the capital of Nashville. We want it in the hearts of people, that they believe it and are saved. The fishing of the church. The gospel's a sign. Baptism, the fish come through water, we come through water. A sign of the risen Lord. And the second sign that continues is feasting. This is the part we like. Oh, the feast. Jesus specifically has breakfast for them. And this probably is not communion that he gives them, although it's very much like communion because he's there. But the breakfast he has is certainly a picture of the continuing sign of Christ, which is Holy Communion. We get a better breakfast than Shoney's here, folks. A better breakfast than Cracker Barrel, believe it or not. Better than some buffet somewhere where you can't wait to go. This is your breakfast. Jesus prepares the breakfast for the disciples. They don't have any hand in it. He prepares it. He gives them fish. A fish is always a symbol of Christ in the Bible. It always points to Christ. Fish is a symbol of Christianity, as you know. He gives them bread. He's the bread of life. All these things point to himself. And the fish is broiled over the charcoal fire. The charcoal fire reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus. The fish had to die to have this meal. He would die to have this meal. He's burned in the wrath of God, the fire of God. And he comes out of the tomb as our fish, as our bread, and we partake of him. And we eat and we have our breakfast and we're strengthened that we might go out fishing again, you see. An obvious reference to communion. Where is the risen Lord? Where is he at? This is my body. This is my blood. Here I am, the crucified one, the living one, here in your mouth, in your heart. You conquer hell. You conquer death. You conquer sin. Right here I am. Where are you looking for me at? I'm right here. My body, my blood, partake and have breakfast. A continuing sign. And certainly also this story points us to the eternal feast in heaven. Notice the boats finally made it to shore. In the story. All the other times we read of the boat in the New Testament, it's always the disciples are on the water and they're fishing or going across the lake. And what happens? There's always a storm. Peter tries to walk on water and nearly drowns. They're always in the middle of the lake having some kind of trouble, but Christ is with you and Christ saves them. But they're still in the water. And that's us right now. We are the boat that's in the world. We are here to fish, and there are storms. There are terrible storms, and we rock, and we think we're going to sink. We will not sink. We're not the Titanic. We are the triumphant. That's the name of the church. We're the church triumphant already, if you will, by faith, even though there are winds and waves. But we'll make it to the other side. John 21, the church has pulled, the nets pulled ashore, the boat's at shore. We've made it to the other side. He'll get the church to heaven, the eternal beach. And oh, the feast he has for us. We're going to make it. The church will not sink. We're not going to be thrown overboard. He will keep us in the faith. He loves us and forgives us. Read an article, The Next Big Thing. And this article mentioned three of the next big things that are coming to America if they're not already here to some level. The next big thing is a bionic eyeball. Is that around? I need bionic ears to hear better. Maybe they're coming too. The bionic eyeball. And another big thing is an anti-smoking vaccine. Another big thing that I'm looking forward to is a four-day week. Can we hear hallelujah? Yes, a four-day week. Those aren't the next big things. The next big thing is the big thing today. It's called, He is risen. He is risen indeed, hallelujah. And the gospel is the big thing that we preach. And holy baptism is the big thing when we come out of the water into the boat and we are saved. And the big thing is the body and blood of Christ. Here's the big thing, the big breakfast. And the big thing is when he comes again in glory and takes me to the eternal shore and I'm with him forever. That's the big thing to come. The big thing happens in the church, word, sacrament. The world doesn't talk about it. The news doesn't cover it. So what? This is the big thing. For the risen one is with us. He gives us continued signs of his presence. May we bring all the people in. Sign 9, sign 10. The church will fish. The church will feast. Look at these signs. Know you're forgiven. Know you're saved. Know you're in the church. And know that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.